Good morning, everyone. It is a joy and a pleasure to be able to worship with those who are of like precious faith. It is a joy to be able to come together on the first day of the week and recognize what our Savior has done for us, the shedding of His blood, the giving of His body, the power of the resurrection. And so when we come together on the first day of the week to do what we have done so far this morning, we get to have fellowship with one another. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about fellowship. I don't know about you, but Cindy and I have two dogs. We close the bedroom door at night so that they can't come in and wake us up or jump on the bed. But when we get up in the morning, they're happy to see us. That door opens, and they've been sleeping right outside that door most of the night. They about knock it down in the mornings to get to us, and I'm usually the one that gets to greet them first, and the big dog wants to knock me over, try to get me to take her outside. But one of the things I find out about dogs is they're a lot different than cats. Dogs like to be around people. Dogs are pack animals. They want to be part of a group. And so when we're gone throughout the day, you come home, the dogs are happy to greet you. Cats are different, aren't they? And what I want to suggest in this is that even though we're considered to be sheep in the New Testament as children of God, we're a lot like dogs at the same time. We don't like to be alone. I mean, some of us want some solitary time to time, but you think about it. We assemble together because we want to be with other people. We're in fellowship with one another. Three times in that scripture reading this morning, you heard the word fellowship being used. Fellowship with one another was used, or with the apostles was used once. Fellowship with one another was used, and fellowship with God was also used within that text. And we'll talk more about that text a little bit later in the lesson. But it's interesting to me to know that when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about certain things. And we're talking about, in particular, just a Greek word that is often translated fellowship is koinonia. And its literal meaning is sharing, participating, together. Now, there's another word that we use quite often when we talk about it because it also demonstrates our fellowship to God. And I think it is a much stronger word than just simply sharing. It's that word communion. That word communion is truly sharing, but we have communion with God. And I'm not just talking about the Lord's Supper here and being communion. That was the idea of being in communion is we're united together. We do more than just simply share things. We share faith. We share fellowship with one another. We share fellowship with God. We participate with one another when we come together to worship. All of those things are necessary, and they are part of fellowship. And so I want to talk to you about fellowship this morning. I want to talk to you about some things that are described within the Scriptures that talk about that very thing. And understand this, that as children of God, as the sheep, we were created for fellowship with God. And I think that goes all the way back to the very beginning. Adam and Eve, when you think about them, they were created for fellowship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They were in the presence of God. Adam and Eve were created for this very purpose. And not only Adam and Eve, you can go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, and you can see Enoch mentioned there. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, you see that Enoch walked with God. And here's what I'm trying to get at. That concept of walking, it describes our fellowship. We walk with God. Adam and Eve were supposed to be walking with God. They had separated themselves because of sin, but they had one time were walking with God. Enoch walked with God. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, it says again that, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch was one of those mentioned in that great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch was one of those individuals that when you hear it saying that he walked with God, what he was describing was what you read in 1 John chapter 1, that if we say that we have fellowship with God and we are not walking in the light with him, then we do not have true fellowship with God. Enoch was one of those individuals that was walking in the light as he is in the light. And therefore, he had fellowship with God. That is where we are to be walking today. A Christian walk demonstrates that very fact that we were created for fellowship with God. And the greatest hindrance of all was the hindrance that broke that fellowship between Adam and Eve and God, and that is sin. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2, we hear the words, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he does not hear." Sin is the thing that will break fellowship with God. Sin is what takes us out of walking in the light where he is, where God dwells, and causes us to walk in darkness. It is that very thing. We were created for fellowship. God created us in his image, in his likeness, so that we should walk in fellowship with him. Not only that, were we created for fellowship, we need to understand that that fellowship with God was really brought into place when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died on that cross in order to make forgiveness of sins possible. He died on that cross in order to restore fellowship with God. We use the word reconciled. Well, Adam and Eve were reconciled to God before sin, and there was a need for reconciliation. And we preach that message of reconciliation in the New Testament church. And because that message of reconciliation is there, it is possible for man to be reconciled to God. And so he reconciles us back to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, talks about that need for reconciliation. If you turn right there, it talks about that message that Paul says that he preached, that very same message that we are to preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not all things are of God, or now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's amazing when you think about what God has done for man. What God did on our behalf by sending his Son into this world to die on that cross. He reconciled us through Jesus Christ. In other words, he was bringing us back into fellowship with him so that we could walk in the light as he is in the light. Not only that, we're brought near to fellowship with God. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, there were those who were afar off. There was a middle wall of separation in Ephesians chapter 2 that was torn down by the death of Jesus Christ so that not just the Jews, all men could be brought back into fellowship with God. And it's important for us to understand that this was part of the great mystery that was preached by the Apostle Paul. So he reconciles us to make us one, to make us friends again with God, to bring us back into fellowship. And Christians are people who have been brought near to God because of that reconciliation. I want you also to consider, too, that Christians are people who heard the gospel call They heard that message and they were called into fellowship with God. There was a message that was brought out. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That death brings us into fellowship with God. It brings us into fellowship with Christ. It brings us into fellowship with one another when we are obedient to that message. When we listen to that gospel message, we are the ones that are brought into fellowship because of what Jesus Christ has done. And not only that, then going back to our text this morning in 1 John chapter 1, and you look at beginning at verse 5, you look again and you see what it says right there. We walk where? We have to dwell where God Himself dwells, in that light. Look at 1 John chapter 1 one more time with me. We're going to look beginning at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and all, and in Him is no darkness at all. That message that they preached, that which brought them into fellowship, you go back up to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And your fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's beginning to talk about again in verse 5. And in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's that great reward. Fellowship brings us into a relationship to God, a communion with God, with His Son. But it also brings every believer into fellowship with one another. I find that to be very important to us because while we're here this morning, we are in fellowship. We are in communion together with God. We should be walking together with God. When we lift our voices in song together, we are in fellowship together. When we pray together, we are in fellowship together. So keep those things in mind, that Jesus Christ, this fellowship in the New Testament is just not with God, it's not just with the Son, it is with other believers. We have that relationship, that partnership, that fellowship with one another that is spoken of in Scripture, and there are many different ways that that fellowship is described, even without using the word fellowship itself. We are called fellow citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's fellowship. That's the understanding that when we talk about it in that way, you look at Ephesians chapter 2. I mentioned that earlier, but we didn't turn to it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to look at verse 19 in particular right here. After having mentioned the fact that that middle wall of separation, that middle wall of partition had been torn down, then at verse 19 it says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners." See, we had been separated from God because of sin. The need for reconciliation was there, and because of what Jesus Christ did, we no longer have to remain in that alienated state. We are what, according to this passage? You look at it, it says, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God means we are in fellowship with one another. That we are part of one another. That we share in something very, very special. We become fellow members of the body. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, and you find out that there are different parts of the body, but in order for the body to be able to function properly, all the parts need to function properly. You can't say that you have no need of the head or of the eye or the ear because every part of the body is necessary. And for the body to be functioning properly, it must be united, united together in work and purpose, in sharing and caring for one another. Brings us into fellowship with one another. We are fellow members of that body. We are fellow workers in the kingdom of God, is what we're told in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 11. One of the things that the Apostle Paul mentions quite often in his epistles, he talks about those people that participated with him in the spreading of the gospel. You and I, together here in Fort Smith, here at Park Hill Church of Christ, we are participants together. The preacher, Brian Lockmiller, is not the only one working in Fort Smith. Every one of us should be working together. We are in fellowship. You're fellow workers. I consider you that myself, just like Paul would consider those at Colossae. You go back to Ephesians and Galatians and Philippian letters, and you look over there and you hear Paul talk about people like Titus and Philemon, Epaphroditus, other individuals that had worked with him. They were fellow workers in the kingdom of God. And not only that, that what he found out is we become partners and fellow helpers. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 23, what you have right there, I mentioned Titus just a second ago. It says, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. It's very important for us to be able to see the need to be in fellowship with one another. There are so many different passages within the New Testament that talk about what we do as part of one another. But we understand that not only are we fellow helpers, we're fellow servants. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Individuals like Epaphras, who were sent to the Apostle Paul, who would be sent back to the church at Colossae and spread, take the letter with him that would go back to Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis. Individuals like that, to understand that you are fellow bondservants, has to understand that that is produced by fellowship with one another. And that fellowship produces something else. Fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ, brings eternal life to our lives. It makes us then fellow heirs. It brings us into a relationship. You think about, I don't have Romans chapter 8 up here, where we're told that we're fellow heirs with Christ, but we are fellow heirs with one another. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul tells them that we're fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. What is he talking about right there? He's talking about the fellowship that we have with one another. I've been asked many, many times, Ryan, why do you not have a fellowship, Paul? And I say we do. The auditorium where we all gather together every Lord's Day and every time we come together, when we worship together, we are in the fellowship hall because that's where we're all together. We're all participating. We're all sharing. We're all in communion together in our worship and service to God. When you're in fellowship with one another, when you are a fellow heir with Jesus Christ and your fellow heir with your brethren, that number goes way beyond what's in this building. That number goes to wherever there are Christians who have been obedient to the gospel, that have been baptized for the remission of their sins, who are continuing to walk on a daily basis in the light as He is in the light, so that they can continue in fellowship with God, so that they can continue in fellowship with one another, so that we can all inherit that crown of joy, that crown of life, that crown of righteousness that is promised us. Fellowship is a wonderful thing when you think about it. As a child of God, you will never have to be alone because you will always be in fellowship with God and His Son as long as you remain steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. You will have brethren that you can rely on through tough times, through great times. See, the early Christians, they focused on one another. The early Christians, they were focused on one another and the fellowship that they had together. When you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. One of the things that I find very interesting about the New Testament church in its infancy was the relationship of brethren toward one another. The care and concern that they had for each other's physical well-being, but also, more importantly, their spiritual well-being. The fact that what they were doing was just that. They were continually doing this. This was something that happened every day. You realize that when we leave this building, our fellowship doesn't stop. It should be a daily concern for each and every one of us. It should be something that we continue in all the time. We mentioned those who are sick. We continue to pray for them on a daily basis. But we continue in the very things that God says were important. It says they continued in the apostles' teaching. That would be the gospel. That would be the doctrine of Christ. That would be the faith that is mentioned in Scripture. When we listen to this, that's what we continue in. That enables us to walk in the light as He is in the light. That enables us to remain in fellowship with God. Enables us to remain in fellowship with one another. See, they shared in word. They shared in the Lord's Supper. They shared in all of these things. They were in communion together. They also shared with one another in physical things. When need arose, that took place. Acts chapter 2, you see them sharing meals together even. Now, quite often when we talk about fellowship, or someone talks about fellowship, that's the first thing that they run to. They talk about meals, having meals together. Pay attention to what took place in Acts chapter 2. Where did they have these meals together? They practiced hospitality. They did it from house to house. But the Christians saw that there was a daily need even to be together. Not always just simply in worship, but they found a need to be together. And then you go over to Acts chapter 4, and you look beginning at verse 32, and you see following that, going all the way into chapter 5, that there was, when a need arose, brethren came together to help brethren. That was community. That was communion. That was fellowship. Caring for one another in that way. So much so that you see the example of Barnabas being given. Chapter 5, you come to Ananias and Sapphira and you see people that lied about what they were doing. But you see brethren truly loving one another enough that they gave to those who had a need so that they didn't lack anything. That's fellowship. Not only there, they shared in praying for one another. You look at Acts chapter 12 and the other places that I have up here on the screen. They truly cared for one another. They prayed for Peter in Acts chapter 12. Paul requested earnest prayers on his behalf in places like Romans chapter 15, Ephesians chapter 6, and Colossians chapter 4. At the close of his epistles especially, he asked for prayers of the brethren. But you know what? At the beginning of each of those epistles, the Apostle Paul also said that he remembered those brethren in his prayers. See, it's a two-way street when it comes to remembering one another in prayers. They shared a care for one another. When I think about that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 25, it says, the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That sounds an awful lot like what Paul told the church in Rome. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. The way that you have true fellowship with one another is remaining in contact with one another daily. In order to be able to share that particular type of care for one another, you have to be in constant contact. That's done out of love. Fellowship exists because God loved us and He sent His Son into the world so that we could be reconciled to Him. Fellowship exists among brethren, and it should be because we love one another enough to care about one another. And they truly acted like family. I think that's one of the things that really stands out in all of Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And you look beginning at verse 15. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to family, family's important, isn't it? I come from a rather large family. Cindy married into a rather large family. She knew when it came to Lockmiller family reunions that we would get together. And the first one, I think her eyes were about this big when she saw how many people were there. But you know what? She has integrated into my Lockmiller family like I've integrated into the Blake family. And what does that mean? We've become part of one another. These people right here, we act like family. We're called brothers and sisters in Christ because we're supposed to be part of a family. We're called children of God because we're part of His family. And we need to act like that. When we are part of a family and things happen to that family, it affects us. When one of our family members has another family member that's having health problems, and they're in pain because of what's happening to another family member, we're in pain with them. When someone goes through something that's very rewarding, and I'm going to pick on Brother Jay over here just a little while ago, Here just a little while ago, he was honored as a World War II veteran. He was given a medal that he should have received many, many years ago, 40 years after the fact, I believe it was. Several of the members here went to that ceremony where he was presented with his medal. We got to share in that with him. Why? We're family. We were honored because he was honored. We rejoiced because he was able to rejoice. Those are just examples of what takes place when we are truly united together in fellowship. But the greatest responsibility toward one another is caring for each other's souls. When one member suffers and is weak in the faith, we need to be there with them. And one person comes through a struggle and comes out stronger on the other side, we need to rejoice with them. It all takes place because we are supposed to act like family. I think fellowship is best described in the New Testament with the words brotherly kindness. The very thing that we are supposed to be adding to our lives that begin with that faith that we're supposed to add to the virtue, and you come down, brotherly kindness is right there. Brotherly kindness in the Trans-Greek comes from the word Philadelphia. It is a word describing friendship, love, the love of brothers, and God wants us to keep adding it to our faith. He wants our love for one another to continue to grow. It will bring us closer together. As it becomes part of our character, it helps us reach out to others with the gospel of Christ. So how do you develop this brotherly kindness, this friendship within a local church? It has to become part of who we are. It has to be developed as each person is committed to it. It has to be developed as it is practiced by those who are younger, older, and by everybody in between. It has to be something that we want to do. See, fellowship is special. We need to look at fellowship not just simply as something that we do, but as something that we have. And understand that's what God's desire was for us. God's desire is for fellowship. He wants our fellowship with one another. Is that your desire? Is your desire in line with God's Word on this subject? God's goal is to bring many sons to glory in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The surpassing riches of His grace toward us will be demonstrated on that last day when we stand before our God and are able to hear words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those will be the words that will have indicated that we have walked in the light as He was in the light. Those will be the words that indicate that we've been in fellowship with one another, we've been in fellowship with Christ, we've been in fellowship with God. So this morning, are you looking for fellowship with God? Then trust Him. Obey Him. Do those things that will bring you into fellowship with Him and be reconciled to Him. Obey the gospel today. The song that we're about to sing, "Come Unto Me," is Jesus' invitation. Matthew chapter 11. The words echo, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wants fellowship with you. Do you desire it with Him? If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you have erred from God, strayed from Him, we stand ready to assist you in reconciling your lives to Him through prayer and encouragement. Won't you trust Him enough to obey Him? As together we stand and as we sing.